Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here we go. Hour 5, G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Sports hodgepodge coming up in 20 minutes. Rangers are off tonight. Series with the Nationals starts tomorrow. Thursday's game, by the way, is going to be a 1:30 start, so you'll have 6:30, 6:30, and then afternoon baseball on Thursday there for your three-game set. For more on the baseball team and your Texas Rangers, here's Zach Wolchuk with the Proper Round Tripper, brought to you by Uber Eats.
Rangers off tonight, and they are back at it tomorrow with the Washington Nationals in town. It will be John Gray on the bump against Mackenzie Gore, who is finally announced as the starter for the Nats. So John Gray looking for his first win of the season. Rangers back over 500 at 15-14 with their win yesterday. They took 2 of 3 against the Rays over the weekend. And one thing that really stood out to me was just Dane Dunning and the strikeouts. We talked to CY about this earlier, but man, it was incredible watching the buzzsaw that was Dane Dunning yesterday, as it was just one run earned in 5 1/3 innings, but 10 Ks. He retired the first 13 batters he faced. And he was brilliant. I mean, Dane Dunning was really, really working it. And sure, I mean, it was the best he's thrown all year. But I'm hoping that he can go ahead and sustain that. He struck out 7 batters or more in 4 of his first 6 starts. He's averaged a career high just over 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. Struck out the 5th most batters in the AL through 6 starts. And his 39 Ks trail only, and this is a list of really good pitchers, Logan Gilbert and Luis Castillo of the Mariners, Tarek Skubal of the Tigers, and then Garrett Crochet of the of Chicago. So, I mean, right now you've got the first three guys we mentioned. Like, those are Cy Young contenders. And Dane Dunning has put himself into, my goodness, all of a sudden he is Mr. Ground Ball guy. And I think if you talk to him about it, he's still going to tell you he thinks of himself as a ground ball pitcher. But he is starting to really come aboard with consistent swing and miss stuff. And if this is the kind of Dane Dunning they can find a way to stretch out here through the majority of the season, things are going to be really, really good. I mean, in his previous start, it was the home run ball that gave him trouble. I mean, he threw 2 bad pitches. They go for dong balls. The rest of the day, though, he was really, really good. So, I mean, the command, the location, if he can continue to keep this thing going, Dane Dunning, man. Well, we could be looking at quite the season for Dane.
Man, he's been a godsend, hasn't he? And he's, you know, he's even better this year than last. But I think his you know, his status is one that if it wasn't for him over the last couple of years, who knows how far off the Rangers would have fallen last year and not even made the playoffs if it wasn't for Dane Dunning. And I think a similar thing's developing this year. I wonder if he has improved enough that once you get to the playoffs, he can be an arm that you depend on as a starter. Because I didn't feel like he was last year in the postseason.
You know, and really, neither did Boach, right? Because he was your MVP when it came to Pitcher of the Year for the Rangers.
Yeah.
But they ended up going with Heaney, and then Dunning comes in relief. Now, it will be interesting what happens with this. Because you're going to have Scherzer, who's making rehab starts. Maybe you get Malley back. That's the hope. Who knows what happens with DeGrom. But you come into a situation again where second half of the season, you have John Gray, you've got Heaney, you've got Dunning. These guys have versatility to pitch out of the pen. Who ends up having those starting spots? And Cody Bradford was pitching exceptionally well before he got hurt.
Yeah, I think the thing with when you're starting to talk about Dane Dunning, so much has been made about, and I never knew this for pitching, the extension.
Yeah.
The ability, I mean, he is, his ability to and the word is extension, but his getting closer to the plate, the ball leaving his hand.
The arm extension.
Closer to the plate. And it's really, and remember when we were interviewing him, I think in spring training, working on different pitches. So he seems like to me a guy that's always kind of tinkering with things, but the things he's working on seem to translate, taking him from the bullpen to the field. I'd have a hard time taking him out of the lineup with all the names that you just made. I think he's a one guy that you could throw out there. He's going to give you six innings. He could sometimes take it into the seventh inning.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be the pitches are going to be economical the way he do, you know, the way he goes through them. Even when he had a start, I believe, in Detroit where he gave up runs, early runs, and just stayed in the game and then
saved the bullpen.
And saved the bullpen. And he just like, okay, I'm going to pitch into the seventh, even though being down. Once he gave up the four runs, he didn't give up another run. You know, he kept battling it, kept battling. So there's days where things aren't perfect for him, but I think he's in a really, really good spot with, and I think the team has a lot of confidence in him as well, that you hand him the ball, you're probably going to get six innings, and you're probably going to be in the baseball game.
He just seems to be getting better, and I'm excited to be able to watch Dane Dunning for the rest of the way. We got some good streaks. I know everybody loves a good streak, especially Jared. Shout out to Jared. Gets a night off that he earned. Josh Smith, of course, has that 16-game on-base streak. He extended. He got a full-count walk in the seventh inning yesterday. Josh Smith has really been good. But how about Kirby Yates? I mean, we talked about this bullpen, but Kirby Yates has yet to allow a run in 12 innings pitched this season. He's 5-for-5 on save opportunities since he moved into that role in mid-April. He's given up just 3 hits and 3 walks, struck out 14 batters during that time. And then you had Jacob Latz and David Robertson combined to pitch scoreless 7 and 8 innings. Robertson had 3 strikeouts. Then the Rangers, right now, when you have David Robertson in a game, 12-1 in games that he pitches. That is crazy right there. But shout out to Josh Smith and shout out to Kirby Yates for really, really solidifying the closer role.
Best relievers we've had in a while, like a 1-2 combination. I'm thinking of like Joe Nathan, Mike Adams.
Yeah, I mean, those were the two big offseason free agent additions. And right now, Robertson and Yates, they've been huge.
Yeah, and this gives you a chance now to not score and still get some wins. I think you could have been swept against the Reds this week if, you know, any part of your pitching had not been better than it was last year. The starters, the bullpen, it's combined now to have an ERA above average, and a lot of the underlying analytics and metrics that you can look at to see what's really going on suggest they're better than average as well. Well, Chuck.
We got to add another guy to the Ranger killer list, and it's Jonathan India of the Reds. Bleep this guy. Oh, my goodness. He was 8-for-12 in the 3-game series, went 4-for-4 with 3 RBIs on Saturday in the one game that the Rangers lost that, I'll be honest with you, couldn't catch any of with the NFL draft going on.
Did a good job. Don't worry about it.
But holy crap. I mean, what the hell is going on with Jonathan India? Get this guy out of here. Him, Shea Langeliers, you had Travis d'Arnaud when they played the Braves. I mean, it used to be just Chris with the K Davis, I felt. Now we're just finding these Ranger killers. Every damn series, some guy wants to pop up. And you're right, 214. We got to give love to Cole Wynn. Wynn, who a couple years ago was the Rangers minor league pitcher of the year, was pitching in the minor league all-star game for them. And then unfortunately, things just kind of went awry for Cole Wynn. But he has found a role as a reliever. Of course, they envisioned him as a starter. That hasn't panned out. But Cole Wynn out of the bullpen has also been really, really good.
Best win in DFW since Dat, I would say.
Ah, that win. Thank you. Thank you for that one. I appreciate that old throwback there.
You got it. I know you how much you liked him.
It's my guy, Dissing Dat. I love that dude.
Silent end there.
Yeah, it's very silent.
You talk about an instinctual player. My gosh. Him and Dexter Coakley, I mean, they saw it and were gone. Like, formation, snap, ball gone. Boop, there we go.
Undersized didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
Those guys got it done.
Mm-hmm.
MLB's finally going to address these uniforms, boys.
About time.
Yeah.
Gosh, did you see
how the biggest problem with the uniforms? I haven't. Are they all see-through? What's the deal now?
There is the see-through factor, the sweat factor. Did you see it on Dunning yesterday? Oh, yeah. He's on, and you're like, oh my gosh, is he overheating right now?
Were they wearing their blues?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like the light colored stuff. You see, like a lot of these light gray uniforms.
Really bad.
And then by the fourth inning, you'll see a pitcher where it's now a dark gray top because of the sweat, and then it's still super light gray on the pants. So that looks a little bit weird. You can just tell the difference in like the size of the numbers, the size of the names on the back. You can tell it's not stitched. Guys are sliding into home plate and tearing their pants up. It's just they're having all sorts of issues here.
Poor craftsmanship, poor material. You know, it's just another sign of the economy.
Yeah. The memo that
cutting
was
costs
sent out,
everywhere.
Boy, they threw Nike under the bus.
S. Rich, is that what the memo said?
I've heard this is actually Nike's fault.
Yeah, it said, quote, "This has been entirely a Nike issue." The memo to the players read, "At its core, what has happened here is that Nike was innovating something that didn't need to be innovated."
See-through outfits?
Yeah, Union seems to have absolved Fanatics here, which was the manufacturer of the uniforms that has received the majority of the issues from the public, and it recognized the vital importance of trying to fix this issue moving forward.
See, I was going after the second rate clothing manufacturer.
Same.
And for my life I thought, we could depend on Nike to make great stuff.
Yeah.
Adidas, Under Armour, Reebok could also.
Yeah.
And anybody else that you let get in, I'm going to point the finger at the league. Like,
agreed.
How dare you not do business with a trusted apparel manufacturer?
So I was pointing the finger at Fanatics.
Yeah, me too.
No,
apparently the league's like, nope, it's Nike's fault.
Yeah, because, our buddy Tobosh was like listening to us one day and he was saying, he tweeted us all, I was like, hey, when Fanatics was doing this, there wasn't a problem.
No, my apologies,
now
Fanatics.
Apparently Nike.
What the hell are you doing? Yeah. This was, that swoosh wasn't working this time.
They discriminate against big guys anyway, I think, Nike. They're double extra large clothes.
It can be a little tight.
It's
a little tight. You wash that thing once. Yeah.
So Nike is going super cheap, even with the players' uniform. See, I could see making the players' uniform better than the one you release as, this is authentic or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. That's what you can't do that to the actual player uniforms. It's destroying the whole idea that they're badass.
So I guess the modifications are going to include a return to larger lettering on the back of the jerseys. They're going to remedy the mismatched gray tops and bottoms and address the new Nike jerseys' propensity to collect the sweat, according to the memo distributed by the players. So these changes will happen at the latest by the beginning of the 2025 season.
Oh, wow.
It will also include fixes to the pants, widely panned this spring for being see-through. But you're bleep out of luck for the remainder of this year, boys. I apologize.
Wait till the weather really turns hot. We get into July, August.
Okay, so speaking of
dude.
Yeah, it's going to be
It's going to be crazy.
Thank God the Rangers have a roof now, man.
Yeah.
Or else, goodness gracious, if summer baseball in Texas.
About that roof every once in a while.
It's going to be another one of those years that's marked by the, hey, do you remember when this happened with the uniforms, like the short pant uniforms or the Steelers pinstripes or Pirates, I guess. My bad. We'll check.
Let's get to this John
Pirates
Truck.
Pirates uniforms were great.
Audio. Yeah. Yeah. I was actually having a conversation with Will about that over the weekend. Like, what's your favorite uniforms?
The A's. I love the A's when, like, back in the day with, like, when they were gold top white pants. But I'll tell you what. When I asked Eric about the old Bob Horner, Dale Murphy, Atlanta, he hated them. But I thought they were actually pretty cool. I mean, you can Google it if you want. It's an old uniform.
Well, shout out to John Kruk. He provided an incredible story over the weekend. He was talking during the broadcast.
Phillies uniforms are
Phillies
good too.
And Padres, and he tells us this hidden gem from good old John Kruk.
They would tell you about playing the prison team, and when I was playing a winter ball
in Mexico,
we had exhibition game every year against a prison team at the prison.
Yeah.
Well, they let me lead off. Just to get me out of the way,
swing and a miss.
Spring training, let a guy lead off just so he can get another at bat or whatever. It's a strikeout for Kruk. But so I go up there to bat. The catcher don't have any catcher's gear on.
Nope.
And I said, he spoke English too. I said, you don't have no gear? He goes, no. No mask, no nothing. I'm like, well, I'm not gonna hit with a dude ain't got no catcher's gear on. Right? So we get an extra pair of our catcher had an extra set of gear, so he let him use it. So then I'm asking.
Did he keep it?
No. But I asked him. I said, it lefty pitching threw like hard. That's what it reminded me of. A kid threw hard, this pitcher. So I asked the catcher. I said, what did he do? He's out. He found his girlfriend cheating. He burned up her car with her and her boyfriend.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, oh, my gosh.
So you then just did 1, 2, 3 strikes.
Oh,
you're out.
Yeah. Very uncomfortable at bat.
You're at bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. There's probably a lot of things that were running through your head.
Yeah, like, get me the heck out of here. But then we went in there and ate with them afterwards in the prison in the thing. Right? And they said, when you walk in, make sure you keep your hat, your hand on your hat. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it, you know. Man, I walked in. I thought they were going to take patches of hair. They were trying to rip my hat off, these prisoners.
Because like, they wanted the hat or your hair?
No, well, the hat. And I told our manager, I said, we can't do this anymore.
I mean, it probably wasn't a great idea to begin with.
Probably should have taken a few hundred hats.
Man.
Yeah. Handed them out.
Give the hats to the poor prisoners. But gosh, that was a great story.
Catcher's gear.
That at bat.
Man, I've always wanted a
machine.
I've always wanted to do a show from a prison, you know? And we've tried a couple of times. Oh. It's a tough needle to thread.
Yeah, I could imagine that. There's like probably a lot of things we got to sign.
You know me, I'm terrified of prison, so I would be off that
geese.
Day.
We'll be with the warden.
I would call in sick. I am. I'm terrified of prison. I really am.
Would you say Wolchuk and Geese?
Yeah, Geese. Yeah. The Geese have his number, man.
Oh, no. I'm more scared of prison than the Geese.
I believe that. Yeah. But you're not actually going to prison.
No, but you're in the prison. Something would happen.
This sounds like hell of a bet payoff for Brian. We've let him off the hook with all these boozing days. Like, oh, that's a payoff. No, yeah. Dude, you're having fun with the Tolos. Let's throw him in jail for a
minute. If there's prisoners listening, I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
Is there a maximum security goose prison that we could throw him in? Because I think that would be his ultimate nightmare.
You guys aren't scared of prison?
Huh? Yeah, I would never want to go there, but I'd do a show from a prison. I don't think that we're going to be...
I mean, these guys committed crimes in their worst moments, most of them intoxicated at the time. Now they're trying to be on their best behavior so they can get out. If there's somebody super dangerous that can't help themselves, they're down locked away. You know, most of those guys just want to chill out and talk football with a former scout.
You know what? If that was the case, yeah, maybe. I just don't, man, prison, like I said, there's no way I could go.
Well, I don't
want to
go.
There's no way I could go,
you know. I don't really want to go, but if we were like the guests there to talk sports and play
that
softball,
show like
Oz, them, that'd be badass.
That'd freak me out.
Yeah,
the show Oz.
So that's a maximum security spot,
that
right?
Just freaked me.
Ugh. We're the worst of the worst guys that can't get right. Yeah. They don't want to get right. You know, they want to fight guards all the time. They put all those guys together. We'll go to a different one, bro.
No, we'll go to that prison where there's no guards. The dudes are just walking around.
That Netflix
like,
show, dude. Yeah, that's real.
Yeah,
I saw the trailer to that. That looks like an interesting show. It actually, it's more like a. Like a sociology experiment, like you know,
let's beat up the bald radio guy. Yeah,
are you that guy that beeped up all those Cowboys drafts there in the early 2000s?
Wait a second, F this guy. So the Chad Hutchinson,
yeah,
the prisoners insist that this is our house, right, and we govern it.
Right.
So instead of fighting that, the guards are just like, you know what?
No guards, right?
We're going to leave. And as long as you guys can handle it and don't go off the rails, we're going to leave you alone. That was the premise of the show, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So
yes.
I was about to watch it, but then I saw Shogun, and I clicked that instead. And that Shogun show is incredible.
So
have
this
you guys
is
seen
the
that
modern
yet?
Version? Because there was a version, I think, with Richard Chamberlain. I think this is completely different.
Totally different. Totally new. He is an English Shogun, I think, is where the show is going. I don't know. I'm just like three or four in. But if you go back to like the 1400s or the 1500s, basically, Spain and Portugal divvied up the world and said, hey, this side is for Spain to colonize and this side is for Portugal to colonize, right? So this English pirate washes ashore in Japan where the Portuguese have been colonizing the hell out of them for decades.
Yeah.
And he tells them, guys... Portugal is fleecing the crap out of you, right? So he becomes like, you know, I'm the third one in. I'm not spoiling the entire deal, but that's like, kind of like the premise of it. So he's like their hero because he has come blessed them with the information, spoiled the plans of Portugal. And now, like three or four episodes in, I think we're getting ready for the Shogun to emerge.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Sounds badass.
I thought, man, this might be better than Game of Thrones.
after like three or four episodes in, I was like, dude, this thing is hitting right here. I've actually, it's one of those shows that you start binging it and then you start thinking about it and you start jonesing for it. Like, man, when am I going to fit this next episode?
You're like itching to go home and watch it right now.
I got the show and then I got to watch the game and can I get one in before bed? Could I wake up early? That's where I'm at right now.
Can I wake up early?
You start building your entire schedule around being able to watch the show.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Start more Shogun.
One last thing here. What are the Cowboys signed Zeke for? Up to $3 million?
Up to $3 million, yeah.
Jeremy Fowler reporting that former receiver Michael Gallup is signing with the Raiders on a one-year $3 million deal.
Oh, man.
Congratulations, MG.
I was kind of hoping they could bring him back, too. Like, listen, we're not going to be good, but if Dak liked you at any point, we're bringing Lyle Collins, Zeke, and Gallup back, and all your best buddies.
Let's get Joe Looney in the mix, too.
Come on. Hey, we got to run. When we return, it's time for a sports hodgepodge. Where are we going with it, Chief?
J.J. Redick, Monday morning Mavs quarterback next year in the nation.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Segment's brought to you by Soda, that's state-of-the-art. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for that free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump to frankelfirm.com. Here's the Chief with that evening sports hodgepodge.
Yes, sir. The news of the last few minutes, as Walchuk mentioned in the previous segment, Michael Gallup is now a member of the Raiders. And I'm sure we'll start to see some veteran players start to get scooped up here. The Stephon Gilmores of the world, a couple of those guys, they didn't get nabbed up throughout the thick of free agency. Now that there's no compensatory picks at risk for any of these teams, you can go dip in there and feel good about signing some of these guys. So we'll see. I'm interested. I mean, do you think Stephon Gilmore, has that ship sailed from a Cowboys standpoint?
Yeah, he's just going to hold out for money, you know, maybe early in camp or late in the summer he'll get a deal. But I can't imagine the Cowboys are in that ballpark at all.
Yeah, the fact that you get Diggs back and then you drafted, and they need to figure out some, you know, they've got some corners that from, you know, previous drafts too, that they need to kind of figure out about if they can play or not. So I think the thing with Gilmore, we all love the veteran type of player, but I think there were some things about him slowing down a little bit. as far as some of the when they were carrying in routes and stuff, we saw separation there and all that. He's a nice player. I mean, but he's not the same player he was 4 or 5 years ago.
But he'll still go get 5 to 8, maybe even 10 million. The Cowboys will not be in that mix at all.
I don't think they will be. And like I said, I think it would have to be one of those $3 million deals.
Well, one of the big things over the weekend was, of course, the Cowboys passing on a running back. And during the draft, you guys had some conversations about that. I believe you guys may have saved Bobby from himself here. Here's some sound discussing the idea of, do you need a running back? Do you not need a running back? And the bear got poked, and I think you guys saved him from himself. Here it is.
It's not like you don't have guys that can carry the football.
Yeah, but you at least need, like, the even though the committee thing and just kind of how things are going in NFL, like, you got to have somebody that's a somebody. Well, like, most teams have.
I don't think you have to have somebody who's a somebody in the running game if your run blocking's fixed. And so if they fix their run blocking, that fixes a lot.
I think that's a very arrogant way to look at things. Hold on.
I'd love to talk about this. Why is it arrogant to assume that the run blocking...
What? Keelan Robinson from Texas just went to the Jags? Okay, Bobby, go for it.
No, I'm good.
No, I want to hear it.
I'm good.
Did Bobby utter another syllable for the remainder of probably 3 or 4 hours of broadcasting after that?
Not much.
It was only when I was specifically said Bobby and asked him something to speak. Otherwise, he went into I'm out on this mode. And I wanted him to continue because when you're doing an 8.5 hour show, like, I'm for this. Let's go back and forth. Yeah. Let's do this.
Just wanted to slide in there and update the useless Jaguars pick in the 5th round there. Bobby, please continue. Nope, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. And I will see you guys on Monday with Zeke as our RB1. That's where we're at.
Guys kind of ganged up on my guy, Bobby.
There was no ganging up on Bobby. Go ahead, and he just decided he didn't want to talk about it anymore.
Like, it took the wind out of his sails.
We're doing a draft. We're updating the pick. Yeah. And then I teed it back up for Bobby. He was a running back that was selected. Yeah. He could have parlayed his point, been like, Keelan Robinson can go out there behind good blocking and have 1,000 yards. Instead, he wanted to pout about it.
There is far worse things.
I love
things.
You, Bobby.
There were far worse things going on what I was doing. Because when, like we would be interviewing somebody and the draft was starting and I would turn my body to where I could see, because I didn't have a TV in front of me. I mean, I didn't even have it up on my computer. I just had all my notes and everything ready, so I wanted to see the actual pick. But I was pulling, like I said, I was pulling a Clarence Hill, you know, where you don't really look at the guy while you're interviewing him. You just kind of looking around for somebody else to talk to. So yeah.
Felt like we were about to get real war room, like banter back and forth, you know, just a good old fashioned player, you know, a player argument here and a philosophical football argument. That's where Bobby was about to take
that. Yeah. I mean, when somebody says you're arrogant for your take, you know,
I understand him getting upset.
It's time for a clear out.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
So
yeah.
We were about ready to go mano a mano, you know, right there in the squared circle to see who was going to have the better running back take. We were robbed of that.
We were, man.
I think after like 72 hours of broadcasting, like you get a little bit chippy.
I think there were a couple of times he was ready to go off and something had happened that had cut into that. And this was another one of those and he had just had enough. And I hear you.
Well, you guys did a fantastic job over the course of the entire draft weekend. It was wonderful. What was not wonderful?
Look at you stirring it up over there, though, with this.
No, I think it's good journalism. You know, covered one of the big stories of the draft right there.
Yeah,
right?
People
were texting in like, why isn't Bobby said anything?
One of the pinnacle moments.
Why are you
being, yes,
why are you sulking in the corner like a little baby.
It was one of the big takeaways from the draft show weekend. Outside of Walchuk being excited about Cooper Beebe, it was Bobby being frustrated and then taking his ball and going home.
It is weird when, if you don't watch the film, to try to jump in that conversation, you know? And sometimes you feel like maybe your take isn't as wanted because you haven't watched the film.
And this is more of him. I say take your ball and go home. This was him taking his ball, and it's the only ball in the court for anybody to play with, and he just stays there and holds it to himself.
Yeah.
You know, he's holding the ball. Like, y'all go ahead and enjoy some imaginary basketball playing going on here.
I would have been really impressed if he'd have just taken his headphones off and, you know, just sat it out the whole time.
See you guys on Monday.
Yeah.
Well, I look over, and he's, like, cutting up audio for his other job. I'm like, okay, Bobby's... he's tuned out now.
He's always grinding.
I can't
grinding.
Get him back.
Well, at least there was only about 4 more hours to fill there.
I know. So. Gosh dang it.
It's tough. Yeah, seriously, because what and people don't realize this, we never go on break. Like we're doing the stream for the station the radio for the and then when we go to break on the station, we continually talk for DallasCowboys.com. There's no commercials.
I know.
So we literally go from okay, when he sends it to break, and then Chris Beam goes, all right, .com, and then Wolchuk gets into, okay, for all the .comers, here we go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, it's intense, dude.
They hear a totally different show than us, than the radio people. Because we're like, that's when we're kind of talking about, damn, Bobby, stop being such a wuss. You know,
oh, that's when you start calling him out.
I just, you know, yeah. I mean, you're kind of like, it's a different show.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a different because you say something that might not, you know, you don't want
to
go over.
I really wanted to ask Beam to call Sean, get Sean on the phone, and be like, Sean, is this what you deal with every morning? Because I feel for you now.
Well, I don't want to betray any trust here, Wolchuk, but I mean that he pulled the old Joe Buck broadcasters move. Wolchuk did. He can't leave that seat. So we had a little pee bucket down there, which I thought was just
Eric.
It was intuitive. You executed it to perfection. There was only one slip up on the cam where we started seeing things, but they moved away from it quickly. Like it was.
I went full juju.
It was seamless, dude. It really was. Here is JJ Redick on the Old Man and the Three podcast discussing yesterday's Mavericks situation and some of the qualms he has with Jason Kidd at the end of the game. A lot of people are picking that apart a little bit with the way they approached it and just letting James Harden run free. Here's JJ Redick going pretty inside basketball for about 90 seconds or so, explaining some of his frustrations with the Mavs approach at the end of the game.
They run one play for Norman Powell. It is a stagger away, and he comes out of the left corner. And he gets to his right hand. And I don't understand how in game 4, you're still not top locking that. And you're just letting him come off and you're chasing over 2 screens and he's getting downhill. Now, you could say, it's one play or 2 plays late in the game that are inconsequential. Okay. So there was one play that he scored on, got to his right hand, right? Scored. Then there were 2 plays where they put 2 on the ball up top. One was with Harden. One was on a pin down in the corner to Paul George. In both those cases, they got the France cut out of the corner and got a layup. So that's 3 plays in a very close game where I don't think Dallas executed whether it was the game plan or not to put 2 on the ball there. I just didn't like it. And I also didn't like there were, I think, opportunities to put a little more length later in the game. If you're going to give James Harden straight line drives. And I don't mean James Harden getting to a straight line drive. I mean literally opening up your stance. He said this after the game. Lisa asked him, "Well, how are you able to do that in the fourth quarter?" And he's like, "It's their game plan to just let me go right." It was obvious. It was like, "We're just going to let him go right." There's no length back there. It was Maxi Kleba trying to contest those floaters. Didn't love that, but I thought Harden was awesome. He had 6 blow-bys in the fourth. 10 of his 14 drives were blowbys.
So that's a pretty good breakdown right there from JJ Redick. And I understand where the Mavs were coming from, where the 3 ball was absolutely murdering them.
Yeah.
And you've seen in the 2 games where the Clippers win, it's because they have the ability to shoot the lights out from 3. And a lot of that's Paul George and James Harden, but then it's also their role players that can really knock it down. And yesterday, I mean, they're sitting for most of the game, like as a team, slightly under 70% from the 3-point line. And James Harden is hitting his step back stuff. You know what, Paul George, 7 of 10 from the 3-point line. So I understand the idea of wanting to make sure that is the first approach is keeping them from getting those shots. But then at the same time, you're going, you can't just give a free pass here for James Harden to just go wherever he wants and everything is just completely uncontested. So I don't know. I think that the kid stuff and some of the frustrations with him are definitely warranted. That was kind of a pick your own poison there with the way that they were able to shoot the ball. But
I think it was a metrics thing. If you want, I mean, just talking to them about this stuff, just curious, I think that they determined that his floater was, you know, he killed him with the floater. He did. I mean, they didn't adjust. They were getting killed on the lobs too, though, you know, with that whole. So they determined that his step back 3 was a higher percentage shot than that floater he was hitting. Anyway, he had, like he said, he hit 6 of them, right?
Yeah.
So to me, that's they were saying like, hey, we're worried about him with the three. We're not worried about him making the twos, and he made them. That happened in the game. Started. He was hitting the floater instead of hitting the step back three, which he normally kills people with.
Yeah, he's made an insane amount of them in that game in the series. The percentage is high. They made a decision. Maybe their execution wasn't perfect, but I look at the job Jason Kidd has done pulling this defense together after two very significant trades midseason, and I say, no coach is perfect. Jason Kidd's done a hell of a job. You know, do you want to finish differently? Maybe. You know, but one of the big reasons the Mavs are where they are is because Kleba has been a huge part of the rotation. And when you take him out, everything on offense and defense changes. He can switch everything. You can play five out with him in the game. You put another big man in there and your dynamics totally shift. If you win, Jason Kidd is a genius right now. The Clippers made stupid shots. The ball from Paul George in the corner is just absurdly low percentage look.
Yeah, crazy.
Goes
yeah, that was
in.
Great defense.
Crazy how, I mean, the shot clock's going down and I'm thinking, and when the ball left his hands, I'm like, my God, he made it. You know, I mean, you could see, and you're just like, but you can't play any better. He's pinned in the corner.
Maybe
and he just elevates in the ball, and you're like.
I think you put Jones on Harden next time. I don't think PJ is quick enough to close out and kind of stay in front of the guy. That's the only thing I would have done differently, you know? And then make your free throws.
Yeah.
Don't turn the ball over like crazy, but I think it gassed them on both ends of the court to come back from 30. And it cost them a little bit in the focus, a little bit in the determination in the final 5 minutes of the game. They couldn't close because they were so exhausted. And the Clippers made their hay by throwing up insane threes for the first 15 minutes of the game. The Mavs had to battle their asses off on both ends of the court for close to 2 hours to come back. They didn't have anything left.
It was tough. The crowd tried to energize them. I think they did a great job. Dallas missed some shots right underneath the basket, though, too.
Yeah.
They had several opportunities, and they missed. Luka missed back-to-back free throws. They had guys who were making – he had two free throws they make. You know, the free throws were what was keeping them in the game, you know, at least keeping them somewhat connected. But then, you know, when they had to make some clutch free throws, they couldn't do it. The turnovers at the end, we were talking about the pocket passes and stuff like that with Kyrie and what he was trying to do, him going inside. They missed some really good opportunities to finish that game after clawing their way all the way back into it.
Yeah, but internally, if you're thinking, how do we play that differently? You know, I don't know what the answer is because you have to choose something.
They feel like they lost that game in the first quarter. That's where they feel like they lost that.
They can feel that way, but the bottom line is you have the lead with 2 minutes to go. So, yeah, you erase the entire deficit. And I understand, like Jason Kidd explained it, I understand the twos versus the threes. In the moment, you need to make an adjustment. When you see James Harden is destroying you with unguarded floaters, and it was consistent possession after possession, sub one of them out, whether it's Kleba or Derrick Jones Jr., and put Derek Lively in the damn game. To me, it's inexcusable, and if they lose this series, we're going to look back at that moment where you could have stomped on their throat and gone up 3-1, and you refused to make an adjustment.
I would have definitely called a timeout and tried something different after probably the second Harden floater. Also, if Luka's going to be that gassed and hurt, I do want Kyrie to initiate more possessions, especially when he's feeling like he was.
Yeah, I mean, Luka right now, I saw this from Nick Angstad, it's taken 23 more shots than Kyrie in this series, and he's only got one more point to show for it.
Yeah. Kyrie has their number, and I feel like Terrence Mann might have Luka's number a little bit. We got to step aside. Get Right's coming up next here. We'll cross with them, see what they got cooking here in the nation.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and it is time now to crosstalk with the Get Right to get a full 4 hours tonight of Reggie and CA. Gentlemen, good evening.
What up?
Yo, yo. What's happening, fellas?
Man, just taking in the entire world of sports, a massive weekend. What do you guys have coming up tonight?
Quite a few friends to talk to tonight. We'll talk at 7:20 with the man himself, Jared Sandler. 8 o'clock, we'll catch up with Tim Cato, talk a bit about these Mavs in this series. We're now down to what is a three-game series for the rest of this one. And then also gear up for the Stars game at 8:20 with the Hockey Hawk, Gavin Spittle.
Oh, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about this? Down 2-1. What a fun night.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Although the word that's probably going to be more accurate is nerve-wracking with the Stars against the Golden Knights. I thought that first period, they looked like they absolutely controlled the game all the way around in that first period. And, I mean, obviously, we got into the second period at one point where I was looking around. I was like, it feels like you should have 5 goals already and you only have 2. And then as soon as I say that, boom, here we go. This thing's going in a real way. And so, like, that's the thing that feels frustrating is even the ways that you saw them play what felt like some of their best hockey. This Golden Knights team, especially behind Logan Thompson, between the pipes, they are willing or they're capable of giving you a run for your money even when you're on playing your best hockey. So I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous going into this one, but it's nice seeing that this team was capable of playing their best hockey and that they got a dub.
Put it like this. I'm going to get a new wristband that says WWWJD. What will Wyatt Johnston do?
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Because
Wyatt we trust.
That
he's going to rise to the occasion. He's going to be the best player on the floor.
That four-hole. Over the shoulder. Oh, my God.
It was a hell of a shot. Mm-hmm. You got to finish your chances. I mean, you mentioned the first period. The second period, I think they had 3 breakaways one-on-one with the tender in like a 5-minute period.
Yep.
And the next thing you know, they couldn't take advantage of any of those. Yeah. And against this team, you're not going to have any more games like that where you're opening up their defense to such an extent. No, at least you can't count on them.
It's maddening because the Stars have had several of those odd man rush opportunities and they're not able to cash in. And then it's like the second they have a defensive lapse where they don't rotate well or there's a turnover, now you give Vegas that opening, Vegas cashes in. It's like you got to play damn near perfect for 60 minutes because the second you mess up, Vegas is going to go ahead and make you pay. Stars haven't been able to reciprocate that.
Got to play 5-on-5, too.
Yeah,
you do.
Can't go to the box.
And ironically, do you know what they call that box in Vegas? The penalty box.
The
sin bin.
Nailed
yes,
it.
Yes, they do.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Mm.
That's what I used to call my van. That was a different van.
The one with the carpet. Not the Scooby-Doo one?
The Scooby-Doo
no.
one?
No, this was
the Shag Carpets.
This was the Gavan.
Gavan.
Yeah. An even sexier Gavan. Version.
Yeah. It was newer. I think it was a 92.
Disco ball in the back. Yeah.
Had an Ford E150 conversion van. It was nice.
Four tires and everything.
CB radio and the whole deal. Four bucket seats and the table.
Woo!
How are we feeling about the Mavs? Is Luka going to be okay a couple nights here?
We don't know. Yeah, he was talking about the hockey. I was like, his situation, they're keeping it quiet like an upper body, lower body.
Lower body.
His knee for sure. And he was not himself. You know, he's actually improved defensively, but he could not really do much in this last game. He got into foul trouble. And, of course, the last 5 minutes, he couldn't do anything because he couldn't get fouled out. One other note on that Mavs game, Brian was there, Reg was there. The way they do the starting lineups for the playoffs, Mavericks home games, they got this guy. He is the guitar slayer. He's the lead guitarist for
play.
Machine Gun Kelly. They got him. His name is Justin Lyons, and this dude is Jimi Hendrix all over again. And when they do the player introduction, that's what electrifies the entire crowd. I mean, they're going nuts because this guy's emphasizing everything, and he's standing on this platform in the middle, right, center court. And the place is just going nuts. And the players love it. And, you know, that's just added value.
Was that the craziest? Or how would you compare that to other crazy times you've had at the AAC with that big comeback?
That's the craziest. If they had won that game, it would have been the biggest playoff comeback in NBA history. Because it would have matched. The Clippers did it to some team by 31 points.
Golden State in 2019.
Golden State, yeah, it would have matched that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the crowd's going nuts.
See, I kind of felt like the crowd that reminded me 2011 game five of the of the championship against the Heat.
Wow.
That's the loudest I've ever heard. I was so proud of a Mavs crowd. That yesterday afternoon was intense. For
still
sure.
Can't believe they didn't win.
Yeah.
But looking forward to Reggie and CA, the Get Right, talking about it here for the next 4 hours. Another sports course draft. Stars will be going on. Rangers off tonight, host the Nationals tomorrow. Thanks to Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup at Master Control, and Carter Freeman coordinating your video. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chia Follow and Brian Broaddus, and I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the nation. At ease.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.